Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, we're glad you're with us for another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find past episodes of the show, subscription links, and much more information online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, it's time for part two of our New Year's resolutions for 2021. Hopefully, people haven't already broken the first three resolutions that we covered on last week's show.
Well, we can certainly hope so. Hopefully, they, you know, maybe made some progress toward getting those things established.
In fact, yeah, that would be fantastic. Let's recap the original three from last week's episode before we move on to the next four resolutions.
All right. So the first thing we talked about was just establishing an emergency fund. And that's typically 6 months of living expenses. And so you don't have to run up credit card bills to pay for emergencies. Number two, of course, was pay off your credit card debt every month. And if you have a built-up balance, make a plan today to pay it off totally over the next 3 or 4 or 6 months. But make sure you pay it off, because it's like rust or it's like termites. It's a really bad thing for your financial house, your financial well-being. So pay off that credit card debt. And the third was make sure that your life is insured, probably with super inexpensive life insurance, term life insurance, to make sure that in the unlikely event that something happens to you and you're the primary breadwinner, that your family goes on financially as if you were still here. One thing I didn't mention last week on that, Walter, is the policies that you can get from your employer through your benefits plan. Usually that's the most expensive way to get term life insurance. You'll get a way cheaper price if you assuming you're in good health, you'll get a way cheaper price by qualifying on your own. So if you're in good health, you're relatively young, let's say under 50, make sure you check out getting a policy on your own, and you'll be amazed at how inexpensively you can get that done. So those are the first three. And we're going to try to leverage those into some resolutions for people who actually are on their way and have established some assets and are looking for the next steps to getting that much closer to their financial goals.
I guess we do have to have assets before we cover our assets a little bit, right?
We do.
Small part of the equation. All right, so emergency fund, build that up, pay off that credit card debt, cover your assets if you have them. What is our fourth financial New Year's resolution as we kick off part two?
Well, this is really kind of if you're in your 20s or 30s and you listen to this, even your 40s, it's save as much as you can as early as you can. So, and frankly, saving when you're young is difficult because you've got student loans and car loans, and you've got a lot of living to get done in a short period of time, and so I get it. But what I have always suggested a couple times in these podcasts, certainly with my kids, my wife and I have always said, look, pay the IRS whatever you owe them, then give 10%, and then save 10%, and then live on the rest. So depending on what your view of giving is, you can either do that or not. But you got to pay the IRS, then you have to save that money for yourself for the future, and then live on what's left. Don't live on what you make and then wish you had saved some. So that's a backwards way to go. Our rule, my rule as a financial professional, is to save at least 10% of what you make. People say, well, Dave, should I save 10% gross or 10% net? I don't care. Save 10%, however you want to calculate it, and then move that up each year. But 10% is the minimum if you want to retire in a fashion that is that you have become accustomed to over your work life. So, Walter, I got a few numbers here. It wouldn't be a financial podcast without a few numbers, but it's never too late to start. But here's why starting early and being consistent is important. So I used a financial calculator that anybody could find online. If you had let's say you did a $6,000 IRA contribution every year, which currently is the max you can put into an IRA, $500 a month, let's just assume that that earns a 7% annual return. So $500 a month over 20 years will end up being $260,000. But over 30 years, the same $500 a month is $610,000.
Pretty significant
but here's the kicker.
Increase.
Here's the kicker. Over 40 years, that same $500 a month equals $1.3 million. So it's the, you know, kind of that power of compounding, that the more years, the more time you have, the more it's going to grow before you start tapping it for your retirement income. It's kind of, you know, the old tortoise and the hare, or the power of consistency. Whatever rings a bell, whatever makes sense for you and your brain, but the longer and more consistently that you can put money away for yourself, the bigger your nest egg is going to be. And that comes from living within your means. Maybe every time you get a raise, you only consume half of that, and the other half goes to building your financial future. You can think of it in a lot of different ways. But honestly, your financial future is pretty much going to be up to you, unless you want to just be living on Social Security when you retire. So, start early, save as much as you can as early as you can, and if you can kind of set 10% as your benchmark, I think you're going to get to the retirement finish line pretty happy.
Fantastic. There's a lot of pearls of wisdom embedded in just that one resolution. That was like resolution number 4, parts A, B, and C, I think. So I think you cheated a little bit with your 7 resolutions, but that's okay. We'll take extra embedded free advice. No problems there, David. But yeah, great rules to live by. Save early and often and as much as you can. Whatever other ways we want to describe that, the bottom line is save, save, save. The earlier you start, the better. Fantastic. What's resolution number 5?
So number 5 is kind of a tag along to that, but it's about systematic savings. And that's why I'm a big fan of 401ks, because the money comes out of your paycheck and goes into that retirement account, and you don't even get to see it. So consequently, you don't have to worry about spending it, because it never hit your checking account. No 401k, no problem. You can set up an IRA at any brokerage account, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, a Schwab, a bunch of others, and have them take money out of your account, your checking account, monthly or every 2 weeks when you get paid, such that you're consistently saving a particular dollar amount, which you can change at any time, but you're putting it into some sort of retirement account, an IRA in this case, where you're really not going to get to it until you're at least 59 and a half, because there are penalties involved. You might get some tax benefits along the way, but do that systematically and not get to December and say, oh my gosh, where am I going to come up with $6,000 to put into my account? If you do it a little bit every 2 weeks, you just never miss it. And so that is number 5, is do it systematically. I get the question, well, wait a minute, I've got student loans. Well, okay, so you want to obviously take care of those student loans too. But let's say your company has a match on their 401k. In other words, you put in 3%, they say, then we'll put in 3%. You have to make sure that you're at least putting in that 3% to get the company match. If you're early in your career, you hear us on these podcasts talk a lot about Roth IRAs. Well, a lot of companies also offer Roth 401ks, and if you're early in your career, that means you're at a relatively low tax bracket. And this is the perfect time to be putting money into the Roth 401k instead of your 401k. If you don't have access to a 401k, you can put money into a Roth IRA instead of a traditional IRA. So, young, early in your career, it probably makes sense to use the Roth instead of the traditional. Either way, if you can do it systematically, every 2 weeks, once a month, you are much more likely to hit your goals than if you're counting on yourself to put that money in this December.
That's a great point. I think the systematic way, definitely the way to go. I mean, we're all wired a little bit differently, David, but the systematic way, no matter how you're wired, is going to be helpful. So embrace the power of that. Even if you've got the personality that can be disciplined into it in one chunk, you know, at the beginning or the end of the year, if you can do it systematically, you just avoid so many possibilities for mistakes that could happen. So not a bad idea to make sure you're setting that up. I kind of always viewed it that way, David, of contribute to retirement plans and savings goals systematically. And then when it came to paying off debt, I did that more. I mean, sure, you've got monthly payments, but I tried to let that be a kind of like your emotional big spend, right? And so it was whenever you'd get a little extra, it would be fun to say, I'm going to pay above on what I owe on that school loan or you know, that credit card payment or whatever the case may be. Or when I was attacking to pay off, you know, our previous vehicles in, you know, years ago, it was exciting to take, ooh, got a little extra in the budget this month, boom, going to slam it on that car payment and get rid of it just that much faster. So that was like that emotional boost and payoff versus the higher month-to-month, you know, payoff of a car. It was fun to be able to do that in large chunks from time to time.
Yeah, I love that. And that's an emotional zing. What you don't want is to feel deprived by having to do this. And a lot of times, if you wait till the end of the year and have to shell out money to your own retirement plan, you kind of feel like you're depriving yourself of other things.
Yeah. I want that. Like I want that $6,000 in my pocket.
If you lose a pound a week, let's say a pound a month, let's say one of your goals, non-financial, is to lose some weight this year. And maybe you want to lose 12 pounds. Well, if you lose a pound a month, or you wait till next December to lose 12 pounds, I know which is easier for me. It's to make a slight alteration in my lifestyle every month than to try to crash it all into next December and then in the hopes that it stays off in January. So what you're really doing with systematic savings is making a small change to the amount you spend every month because you're putting it into long-term savings such that you don't really even miss it. But if you've got to write a big check to your IRA next December, you're likely going to miss it and feel deprived for some reason. So I'd strongly encourage you, find a systematic way to do this and get started right away.
It's a great point, David. And that one makes a lot of sense to embrace that idea of that systematic savings, systematic investing idea and tool. All right, what's our next financial New Year's resolution?
So number six is really my most favorite tool for helping people achieve their financial goals and dreams, and that is that annual net worth statement. And we teased it at the end of the first segment of this last week. And if you've got it, if you did it this last week, I'd encourage you to get it out and take a look at it right now. But I think this is so important because it provides a record keeping for yourself. You have a history that you can look back, and when you make steady progress toward a goal, you're much more likely to get to feel the momentum that's pushing you toward the goals that you have set. So this is all about you, and it's all about you accomplishing your goals that you set. All a net worth statement is, if you're new to this concept, what you do is you write down all of the assets that you own, car, house, bank account, 401k, IRA, etc. And you write down what are each of those worth today, let's say December 31st of 2020. And then in a column right next to that, you write down all the people you owe money to. Maybe it's a bank for a car loan. Maybe, unfortunately, it's a credit card loan. Maybe you have a home loan. Maybe you owe your parents some money. You write down all the people you owe money to and how much you owe them. And then you subtract what you owe, the liabilities, from what you have, the value of the assets. And the difference is your net worth. And hopefully that's a positive number. In other words, you have more in assets than you owe to people. And what you want to do is, I don't think there's a reason to do this more than annually, but I know people that do it more often. I want to be focused. It helps me be focused on the big picture if I do this annually. But I've got 30 years worth of these in a filing cabinet at home so that I can track my financial progress. And that gave me a feeling of momentum that I was accomplishing goals. And what you end up probably doing is raising those goals because, since you're tracking this, you actually make better progress when you're tracking what you're doing. So let's say, for instance, that you have this, and maybe you have one from last year. So what do you look for year over year? I've got a couple of suggestions. On the asset side, frankly, did your assets grow? Is my IRA balance or my 401k balance bigger than it was last year? Well, you have them both written down, so take a look. Is December 2020 bigger than December 2019? Hopefully it is. What's your home worth if you happen to be a homeowner? Hopefully it's worth more. Maybe not by a bunch, but hopefully it's worth more this year than it was last year. What's your car worth? Probably less than it was last year, because cars tend to be depreciating assets, not appreciating assets. That's okay. You need a car. You just don't want to have a $150,000 car, because then you have an asset that's depreciating. And then the other thing I'd encourage you to look at is, on the asset side, are your liquid assets big enough? That's that emergency fund we talked about last week. Is that equal to your bank money? You got it sitting around. It's only, maybe it's not earning anything, or it's earning 0.5%, but it's super important to have access to that if and when you need it. Did it grow? Did you even have one last year, and now you're halfway toward your goal of 6 months? But what you want to make sure is that those assets that you have grown in value. What about on the liability side? Did the amount you owe on your house go down? Probably. Did the amount that you owe on your car loan go down? Most certainly it did, unless you got a brand new car. What about your credit card debt? Is it zero yet? Well, hopefully it's getting, if it's not zero, it's getting really close to zero. And what you want to make sure is that month over month, year over year, you're making steady progress to reduce the amount you owe to other people and increase the value of the assets you own. And what that's going to do is, you look over to the little addition subtraction problem that we had, which is your net worth. Subtract your liabilities from your assets. That's your net worth. Is it bigger this year than it was last year? If so, or if not, why? Did it go down because maybe the stock market was down? Well, certainly not the case this year. But if it's down because the stock market went down, not a big thing. If your net worth is down because you took on more credit card debt or a big auto loan, that might not be so good. If it's up because you had a nice growth in the value of your home or in your 401k, even better, then those are all things that are probably lasting increases to your net worth, your financial net worth, that is going to carry you to the retirement that you actually want. You've probably, if you're goal-driven, you've probably set some sort of amount of money that you want in retirement. And maybe you've gone so far as to back into, how much growth do I need over my working years to get to that goal? If not, that's another super good exercise done by yourself or done by a person like me. But this is all about achieving those financial goals and biting them off one bite at a time, and not getting to 50 or 55 years old and thinking, oh man, I am way behind. So whether you are 25 or 65, calculating this statement of net worth, I think, is super important. Once a year, and look to make sure that you're making, that it's growing each year, that you're making progress toward that financial goal you've set for yourself. That's number six.
Love it. Six of seven down so far. There is one more resolution to cover for 2021. What's our last but not least resolution, David?
Well, I'd make a resolution to check all of your beneficiary designations. Sounds pretty boring and pretty silly, but you've got to make sure that those are the way you want them before they need to be used. Well, they need to be used when you die. And after you're gone, you can't fix problems with your beneficiary designations. So those are typically on your retirement accounts, your IRA, your Roth IRA, your 401k, if you're a teacher or a government person, a 403b. You want to check the beneficiary designations on your life insurance policies. That's who's going to get that big pot of tax-free money when you die. And you want to make sure it's the right person. Regarding both of those things, I've had, just as an easy little example, I've had a divorced person come in and realize, oh my gosh, my ex-spouse is the beneficiary of that particular asset, and that's not what I want anymore. So this is really, really important to make sure that your beneficiary designations are what you want, because once you're gone, that can't be fixed. And then, a real quick little extra, the three most common items that go through probate after you die, but you can fix with a beneficiary designation: your bank accounts, your automobile titles, and the deed or the title on your home. All three of those can have beneficiary designations. They're usually called a transfer on death or a beneficiary title. The bank accounts, you just get those done by going into the bank and asking the customer service person to help you with that. Your automobile titles, they can be fixed by going to the DMV and telling me you want a beneficiary designation on your automobile title. Yes, you can do it. It costs almost nothing, and it's really important. A little more complicated is the title on your home, but you can go to the county courthouse or you can have an attorney help you with that. And for $250 to $500, you will make sure that when you die, your home doesn't have to go through probate court to get to your heirs. So that's number 7, really important, especially if you've done well in your life, you have a number of financial assets. You just want to make sure that when you're not here anymore, those go to the people that you want them to go to. Because if you don't leave them to the right people, the state has laws, and the state laws will determine who gets your stuff.
And we don't want that to happen, right?
We don't want that to happen.
Just to be clear.
Want that to happen. I know that.
Just to be clear. All right, so we didn't end it on the most exciting of notes, David. I was really hoping that number 7 was going to be some, you know, grandiose fireworks, you know, resolution kind of thing. But I guess we'll settle for, you know, a responsible, important resolution as our last one. That's fine.
You know, sometimes these resolutions are, not necessarily medicine, but a little financial medicine can go a long way to getting you to the financial health that you want. And a lot of these aren't things that you have to do every day when you get up in the morning. It's not like exercising. You can get a lot of these things in place before January 31st rolls around. And mostly, other than living within your means, you can set most of your financial life up on some sort of autopilot and check in with it quarterly, with your net worth statement, check in with it annually to make sure that you're on track. But they do take the initial effort to get them going. So hopefully these 7 resolutions have been helpful in getting you on track with the 1 or 2 or 6 things that you didn't quite have where you wanted them to be. But if you get these 7 things done, I'm convinced at the end of 2021, you're going to have a better feeling about your financial life than you might have at the beginning of 2021.
And probably if you were to do that, net worth statement that you talked about, it'd be in even better shape than the year before. And we want to see that always increasing year to year as well. So it's a good playbook. It's a good plan to get you from point A to point B. And letting you know kind of some of the things that you can be focusing on in 2021. But a great point, David. These aren't necessarily things that are going to have to pop up and bother you every single day. You can commit to set these things up, put a lot of these things on autopilot, like the savings into your emergency funds, the paying off of debt, the saving much early and often. All these things can kind of be done easily, and you don't even have to monitor them all that closely. So it shouldn't be too big of a burden, unlike waking up every morning and having to go work out, or every evening, or whatever the case may be. That's why that's so much harder, right? Everyday commitment, where this, you're kind of automatically setting up the everyday commitment to good financial health. So should be easier done than the getting in shape part. So let's all take that as some good motivation as we head into 2021. If you need any help with something that we've talked about today, getting these seven resolutions implemented, or if there's additional areas of your financial life you want to check in on, get an update, maybe get a complete planning review with David and the team, you can set that up very easily by calling 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414, or by going online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. David, thanks for the help. We'll do it again next week's episode with all new topics.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I will say, if as you're listening to this, if you say, man, I wish Walter and David would cover this particular topic, just hop on our website, coveryourassetskc.com, and under the podcast tab, send us a note and say, you know what, if you guys would talk about this, I think it'd be awesome. We love to talk about what our listeners want to hear about, and that's where some of our best show ideas come from. So let us hear from you, and we'll make sure to get those topics worked into the near future as we let 2021 unfold.
We had a couple of good topics submitted throughout 2020. That was fun to cover those specifically. I think that makes it even more fun for you and I, David, when we get those direct questions and direct topic requests, because we know we're talking specifically to one person, at least, who is super interested in that topic. And where there's one, there's usually more. And so I know that to be the case. So if you have something in your mind, don't hesitate to reach out. We'd love to hear from you. CoverYourAssetsKC.com is where you can submit those requests, or you can even email David. It's ddickens@kcfa.com as well. We'll put contact info in the show notes section of the program, so it's easy for you to find all of that as well. Well, we will talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC Podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.